Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we are at the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo, seeing all the players, seeing all the teams. Fantastic stuff, and we have two really good guests today, Michael Misa, James Hagans. We're talking two of the top five guys who are going to go in the draft, I would assume, right?
Two of the most offensively skilled players of this draft, right, Adam? When you look at Michael Misa, kind of more of a two-way type of player, has the skill, can do it all on his own end of the ice as well, great on faceoffs. And then you have James Hagans, who went the NCAA route, was a point-per-game player for Boston College. And I think coming into the year, Hagans was considered by many to be that top prospect, right? But the expectations for these NCAA players of late and rising because of the Adam Fantillis, because of the Macklin Celebrinis recently, having those Hobie Baker-type seasons, you know, Hagans, I thought, held his own. And the expectations now on these NCAA players are rising because of what we've seen in the past. Is that fair? Is it unfair to Hagans? I don't know. All I know is that he's an exceptional talent, an exceptional player, and whoever drafts him is going to be getting a real, real bonus.
Look, the guy was a point-per-game player as the fourth youngest player in college hockey, and he was the number one center on the championship line at the World Juniors. I think it says all you need to know about James Hagans and his skill set. Michael Misa, no slouch either, led the Ontario League in scoring in his draft year. I don't quite know when the last time that's happened. I'm sure it has. You're Mr. Research Guy, as we learned in previous episodes.
Big research guy, yeah.
Yeah, do you have the answer there?
Well, no? What I will say is that, you know, look, Misa, no doubt about it. This is, obviously, he's number two on Central Scouting's final rankings of North American skaters. So I think Misa and Hagans, there could be one or the other. It could be, you know, who do you want in your lineup? You want a guy that's going to be the two-way type guy, maybe a little bit bigger in his frame. Hagans is just obviously his first year in the NCAAs, doing what he did. I thought Hagans had a fantastic season, to be honest with you. Greg Brown, the coach at BC, had nothing but great things to say about him and what he meant as a top-line center, Adam. Playing for, you know, a Hockey East school is not an easy thing to do. But Hagans was able to adjust to that and get it done. And not only that, he was fantastic internationally when he needed to be for the United States. Obviously, they won a second straight gold medal, which has never happened, at World Junior Championship in Ottawa. We were there. We saw what he did. We saw, you know, when he got in close, was inside, when he was able to get inside. And that was somewhat of a knock by a lot of the scouts. Is Hagans going to be that player that gets inside? Is he more of a perimeter player? We know Misa can get to the inside because of the size, maybe a little bit more. But look, they're both exceptional players. Number two, San Jose. Number three, Chicago. Who knows what they're thinking? But these are two great options.
Absolutely. And we're going to hear from Michael Misa in a little bit. But let's turn to James Hagans first, the Long Island native with the New York Islanders holding the first pick in the draft. It's really interesting to hear his response. We talked about what would you think about going number one to your hometown team? So let's go to that interview with James Hagans.
James, thanks so much for joining NHL Draft Class. It's great to see you again. Tell us how the week has been going so far.
Yeah, it's really exciting week being able to come here with all the top prospects in the world. It's awesome seeing new and old faces. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm excited to get the week rolling.
So let's talk about the season that you had. First season of college hockey, you go in as I think you were the third or fourth youngest player in the NCAA. What were your expectations, and were you able to meet them? Do you feel you exceeded what you thought it would be like?
I thought I had a great year being able to play college hockey against talent that are 20 to 25 years old, being able to push yourself every day. It was tough, but to be able to have the year that we had, I thought that we had a lot of success. I was able to have a really good year, and I was really happy with it.
James, what has been your proudest moment so far?
I think winning World Juniors was one of the coolest moments I've had in my hockey career, being able to kind of see your mom wearing your jersey in the stands with tears rolling down her face after you're lifting the gold medal is something that, you know, it's just something you have to be grateful for. All those times where your parents have driven you to the rink, sacrificed so much just for you to get to that moment, and it felt like it all paid off.
So you were a roommate happened to score the game-winning goal. What were some of those conversations with Teddy Stiga like sort of that night and then kind of moving forward? Would you guys sort of in the dorms kind of reenact it or remember it going back?
Yeah. I remember having a talk with him before the game. Just the player he is, the person he is, he's a special player. I remember talking to him about how exciting this game was going to be and, you know, joking around about Ted scoring his first goal of the tournament. And matter of fact, he did it as the overtime winner. So, we still talk about it to this day when we're back at BC together.
You've had such an impact internationally, as you spoke of there. BC as well, a point-per-game player. Tell us what the experience was like at Boston College under Coach Greg Brown and what you were able to learn and how you were able to develop there.
Yeah, being able to be around a hockey mind like that, you just have to learn how to be a sponge. He's such a smart coach. You know, you have to make sure whatever he's talking, you're paying attention. I was able to learn so much, whether it was structurally in the defensive zone, him teaching me how to go in on draws, all the little parts of the game that, you know, you really need to key in on, and a coach like that to help you out. He's someone that, you know, I'm super special to be around, super special to be coached by him, and I'm really grateful.
So I know the answer is going to be a little different after June 27th in the draft, but you are a Long Island native from Hauppauge. You were an Islanders fan growing up. What did it mean to you to watch the lottery and see your hometown team win the number one pick?
Yeah, it was special. Growing up an Islanders fan, obviously, right away your mind, you know, thinks to that. But obviously now you're in a position for the draft, so you just have to be grateful for whatever team picks you. You want to be the first person off the board, and that's no matter what team's picking. But growing up an Islanders fan, it was definitely a cool moment.
Well, a lot of Islanders fans are kind of excited about James Hagans. I don't know. Have you seen his bumper sticker, Bring Hagans Home?
I have seen him.
What do you think? What are your thoughts?
They're pretty cool. It's cool when you see people around Long Island supporting that and having that on their car. It's special.
So, obviously, I'm sure you're going to meet with the Islanders at some point here during the combine. If they say, why should we take James Hagans with the number one pick, what's your response?
My response would be, I want to be able to win a Stanley Cup as an Islander. The last time I think they raised the cup, my dad was a little kid, and it mean a lot to my family, to the people of Long Island, to everyone that supports the team, to be able to bring the Stanley Cup home and raise it one day on the island. Being able to do that where you grow up, where, you know, all your friends and family are, it's special.
One of the players that you've been compared with quite often is Michael Misa of Saginaw. I'm just curious if you've seen Misa play and your thoughts about him as a player.
I know he's a special player. Obviously, you saw the year he had. He's such a talented and skilled hockey player, and, you know, he's going to have a lot of success in his future.
So what's your plans for the summer? Where do you want to work on, and what can you do to make yourself an even better player after being a point-a-game player as a youngest player, one of the youngest players in the NCAA hockey?
Yeah, I think it's keying in on my shot, kind of my shot mechanics, making sure that you're a threat from wherever you are on the ice. That's something that, you know, you could always work on and something you always need to improve. I also have been working on my skating, just my outside edge, being able to transition and make sure your first step's explosive. I think that's something that you can really key in on and something that will translate well at the next level.
If you were able to build the perfect centerman, using the attributes of three NHL players, who might you choose?
Obviously Connor McDavid's skill, speed from him. I'd probably say Jack Hughes's IQ, and probably say Patrick Kane's his hands.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You just made a very nice player. Teams would be very happy. They would sign that player very quickly. So you're going to have options next season. Do you think you're ready for the NHL, or do you think another year of college would help with your development and kind of improving the things that we talked about just now?
I do believe I'm ready for the NHL. Obviously, growing up as a kid, it's your lifelong dream to play in the NHL and to win a Stanley Cup one day. And, you know, you want that time to come soon, and I believe I'm NHL ready.
Is there something on your bucket list outside of hockey that you've never done that you would maybe like to try?
that's a good one. I don't know if skydiving, I could throw that in. never been snowboarding. I probably won't be able to until I'm done with hockey completely. But I'd probably throw skydiving in.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the opportunity, I'm sure, to train with NHL guys. Who are the guys that you're kind of most looking forward to skating with in the summer, kind of learning from, picking the brains of, you know, guys who are already in the league?
Back at home, I skate with Matt Coronato. He's someone that is a great player. He's someone that, you know, if you watch him shoot a puck, you can learn a lot from him. He can shoot and score from wherever he is on the ice. And the way he plays a hard style. He's able to skate really well. He's someone that, you know, he's just a great person to learn off of. Growing up and kind of being around him for a long time now, I've been able to, you know, become really close with him, be able to kind of see every step of his process, and obviously him signing that big contract, it's I'm super grateful.
James, yeah. A big part of your development path was the National Team Development Program. Can you talk a little bit about the program and what that meant and how that has helped you reach this point?
Yeah, being able to have the honor, you know, wear your country's logo every day for 2 years, it's special. It's something that, you know, you have to take with a lot of pride. Showing up every day, it's hard. You're in the gym, you're getting stronger, you're on the ice a lot, but, you know, it's something that everyone there loved doing. It was special being able to go overseas and play against international teams, being able to be on that big stage a couple times a year. It was special. Being able to start your 17 year, it's hard. You're playing against a lot of older guys. You're in the USHL. You're playing a couple of games in the NHL, and then making that jump to your second 18 year, where, you know, your team really develops. You guys are bigger, stronger, faster, and you see that when you handle games against BU, or you're going to play in Notre Dame or whatnot. You know, you're playing at a college level, and that's something that, you know, most people don't get the opportunity to in their 18 year of hockey. So it was special, and we're all grateful to be able to say we played for USA.
Kind of jumping off of that, two of the guys that you played with this season, Ryan Leonard and Gabe Perreault, how did they help you help you along the way, whether it's World Juniors or in the NCAA, to kind of get you to where you were comfortable and able to do the things that make you a special player? Two guys with very distinct personalities also. Very different people.
So I was always good buddies with them, just coming from the National Team Development Program. So it was good to be able to be with them at school. But, you know, being on the ice with two guys at that caliber, it's something, you know, you have to be aware of, something that you have to learn off of. Being able to just be on the ice and practice, seeing the things they do, and being able to find those guys, and, you know, those guys will set you up as well. It's fun. It's fun to be around. You know, it's awesome when you're asking them, you know, some tips, you know, how they handled it, what they did, all those things, because they've been through it all, and, you know, the way they've handled it is like no other.
James, I gotta have you rehash the story that you told me in your time at Mount St. Charles. With the under 14 team, having the chance to skate beyond the ice is something you've always wanted to do, no matter what it took to get on the ice. Tell the fans a little bit on what happened that one. I guess it happened a few times. The alarms went off. You're the only one out there, full equipment, shooting. Explain what happened there at the mount.
Yeah, so going there my 14-year year, obviously you're new around there, and you know, the first thing you want to do is skate. You know, you're living with your buddies in a dorm, and you have a rink 100 feet away from you at all times. So I remember going down there, I think it was really early in the morning, and I put on my full gear, went to go open up the door, and as it shut, the rink alarms went off, so I didn't really know what to do there, but that was a funny time. I forget who I called. I might have called my mom, wondering what to do in this situation, but it was just moments like that. You know, there's things that you'll remember, something you'll laugh on, you know, a couple years later, so... I know at the time I was a little scared. I thought I was getting in trouble, but you know, now it's something funny to laugh about.
I think the answer is just keep skating. Just skating. Yeah. They won't be able to catch you. Just keep going. Well, James Hagans, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thank you for having me.
Mike, that was great stuff from James Hagans, a Long Island native. I think as much of a great story as it would be, like almost like a reverse Tavares, right? Where the hometown boy gets to come home, the bumper sticker, as you asked him about. I just, you know, I don't foresee it happening as long as the Islanders stay at number one. I think it's a it would be a great story, but I think Matthew Schaefer is just the better option. Not that James Haggins isn't a good choice. I think if I'm picking number one, I know who I'm taking.
Well, I mean, if the Islanders are really set on taking James Haggins, then they need to consider a trade.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And you get a player that could possibly fill in a lineup piece next season. Look, the Islanders are close. Like, this is not a team that is in total rebuild, right? I mean, right. Maybe a few players here or there, tinkering with some players. You know, obviously, if you wanted Haggins, though, I think a trade down, maybe one, two spots would be the way to go. Now, they got the number one pick. Why not pick the best, the best player that you think is the best player available? So I think that's what Matthew Darche and his team of scouts and the organization there, that's what they might be thinking. But look, we know about James and what he's about. I thought it was really funny him talking about getting on the ice at Mount St. Charles and having the alarms go off. That was like one of my favorite stories. And I don't know why. It's like one of those secret, as a 14-year-old, right? You get a 15-year-old, you can just see him. Yeah.
But it's a fun kind of breaking and entering,
yeah,
right? Because he just wanted to go play hockey.
So the funny thing about that too, when I spoke to his coach at the Mount, Frank O'Connor, he did mention that, you know, I was here. It was 5:30 a.m. in the morning. I got there at the rink, was doing some things, and all of a sudden I hear pucks being ripped off the glass. And I walk into the rink, and there's James, you know, shooting pucks. He's got full equipment on, passing through cones, shooting. He says it was fantastic. And it's a 14-year-old kid doing this, so that's pretty amazing. And he had to text, or the alarm set off, obviously went off, and they rang the gentleman that does the rink facilities there. His alarm went off on his iPhone. He had to get up. He had to go shut the alarm up. But it was a funny story. But that's James Haggins. It's a great example of the type of player he is.
And you can go to NHL.com and read that whole story. And I highly recommend it. It was a really good story. Mikey did a really nice job getting into James and his family and more than just his, you know, quote-unquote criminal background. I know it's a little... yeah, you know, like... But it's a great story. But, like, remember a couple of years ago when we talked to Connor Bedard? He told us a story about taking his rollerblades to Hawaii on a family vacation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because he couldn't get away from the game. And look, I'm not saying James Haggins is going to be Connor Bedard, but when you see that level of dedication, when you see that level of desire, that level of want, like, I want to be the best guy I can be, and I want to be on the ice, I want to be on my blades anytime I can to continue to hone my skills, better my game, better myself. That's an appealing quality that, you know, the best of the best have, and clearly James Haggins has it.
And Michael Misa has a lot of appealing qualities as well. And we got to touch base with Mike and talk to him about what he's been going through this season and the fact, Adam, that he was an exceptional player into the OHL as a 15-year-old. So there was a lot on his plate, the pressure he dealt with, and we spoke to Michael all about that.
When you kind of look back on your season, how would you assess your season?
Yeah, you know, coming into my drafter, we had a bit of a younger team. Didn't know really what to expect from our group, but yeah, I thought, you know, we had a good season. I performed pretty well, I thought, and you know, ultimately we fell a little bit short in the playoffs, but overall I thought it was a good year for me.
Entering the OHL is having that exceptional status tag. There's a lot of pressure there. How was that for you entering as a 15-year-old into the O, and then this year as a draft eligible player, knowing you kind of had to prove yourself somewhat?
Yeah, definitely an adjustment. A lot bigger kids, faster paced hockey. I think the biggest thing for me was just kind of block the outside noise, just focus on my game, you know, take advice from older guys and my coach, and just try to, you know, work on myself was the biggest thing for me.
You played some center, you've played some wing. Are you more, I guess, do you feel more of a better fit at one position versus the other?
Yeah, primarily I'd like to play center. You know, minor hockey, I played center all along, and coming to the OHL, I did switch to wing just to, you know, open my options up a little bit more. But ultimately, for my drafter, I wanted to get back to center, and that's just where I feel the most confident and I make the most plays. So, yeah.
Maybe one skill you're looking to improve, Mike, to get to that next level?
honestly, I think everything. Like, there's never something you can't improve, especially at the next level. Everyone's the best of the best. And but, you know, maybe one thing in particular is just defensively, just being, you know, supportive as a centerman, and just aware of everything, you know, around me.
So, you know, the Islanders have the number one pick in the draft. I'm sure you're going to meet with them at some point here during the week. If they say to you, why should we take Michael Mesa with the number one pick in the draft? What's your response?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. I think, you know, I'm someone who's, you know, I hate losing. I'm a hard worker. I think my work ethic can, you know, be seen as I play. And I think I'm someone who's coachable. I like to learn from, you know, coaching staff and players on the team. And ultimately, I think when I'm at my best, I'm, you know, a force to be reckoned with, and make people around me better.
If you were to build the perfect center using the attributes of maybe three NHL players, who would you pick? Who are maybe three centers building the perfect centerman in the league?
I think he doesn't play more, but Patrice Bergeron's 200-foot play. I'd say McDavid's speed, and then Matthew shot, like all those combined would be pretty cool center.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's a good like little Lego center you're putting together. I think you built a nice player there. Yeah, some good choices. So, all right, speaking of NHL guys, what's next for you? Do you think you're ready to make that jump to the NHL? Do you think you need another year of development? What's your path?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to take it, you know, week by week. I think there's still a lot for me to do, you know, get bigger, stronger in the summer. And, you know, then we got rookie camp, main camp. I think, you know, trying to prove myself there is going to be huge for me. But ultimately, there's still so much work to do. So I'm just going to take it week by week.
To this point, what's the most intense competitive game you've been involved in, and how do you feel you did?
Most competitive was probably the Memorial Cup Finals last year against London. You know, bitter rivalry we had with them, and yeah, I thought I played pretty well for, you know, how young I was, and yeah, it was a big boy game. So you know, just trying to you know help my team win that game was something I did to you know help, but yeah, ultimately it was a fun game.
What do you take, you know, obviously you take a lot from winning Memorial Cup 2 years ago, but not getting back there when you thought maybe you had a chance to repeat. What can you take from that, and how can that sort of motivate you and drive you moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's always, you know, you gotta keep pushing. Even after that Memorial Cup year we had, I thought, you know, we definitely had a chance to go a little further in the playoffs than we did, but it just shows you that how many good players there are out there and how many good teams there are. So, yeah, just keep pushing.
Do you think you need maybe one more year of major juniors before you get to that next level?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think that's up to the NHL team that drafts me, and you know, I think we're gonna figure out a plan for what best suits me. But I believe when I'm at my best, and I put all like the work in this summer, and yeah, hopefully we'll be ready to go next year in the NHL.
But kind of along those lines, there's a lot more options for guys in your position now. The NCAA is a route. A couple of guys, I know Malcolm Spence from Erie has already made that commitment. Henry Muse has made that commitment. He's going to college. Is that a route that interests you? Have you kind of looked down that path at all?
I haven't really looked down it, to be honest, yet, but it's definitely, you know, I can consider it. I think it's obviously pretty cool that everyone has that chance now to go play at school. I know my brother just committed to Penn State, so just, you know, seeing how people are, it is pretty cool, but it's just something I got to talk with my agent about.
The fact that, I don't know if you've ever played with Luke, like, competitively, obviously summer hockey or whatever, but is that appealing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting the chance to play with him has been, you know, a dream for a while. It's never actually happened, but, yeah, I don't know, maybe someday it will, so.
What does success in hockey mean to you?
I think it's just it's obviously a team game, and I think you're getting the most success when you're playing as a group, no individual play. You know, you're doing whatever your coach is, you know, kind of suggesting, following his systems, and usually I think that's what makes you the most successful.
So I'm sure you've talked to guys who've gone through the fitness testing portion of the combine. Everybody has, I don't know if horror stories is the right term, but everybody's got their memorable moment. Obviously, you've got older guys on your team or guys that you know have gone through it. Did they give you any kind of warning about what that process would be like?
I think in terms of the testing, I do know it's pretty difficult, the bike tests. You know, I was talking to Zane about it and my brother, just you got to be ready because the testing is pretty hard. And then in terms of interviews, they, you know, some teams might try to, you know, get to know you, and then others might try to, you know, grill you a little bit harder with the questions and try and stump you on a couple. So just, I think for me, just to be myself and go in there confident is yeah, what I'm going to do.
There's been a lot of comparisons in this draft class between yourself and James Hagans of Boston College. Have you ever watched James play? And if so, what do you think of his play?
Yeah, I mean, I played against him at the U17s. And then, you know, I've seen highlights of him, what he's done at Boston. It's pretty cool to see, you know, we are definitely really similar in ways. And yeah, two great prospects. So it'll be fun for us to kind of see where we both fall in the draft.
So I'm curious, you know, you had 134 points. You led the Ontario League in scoring. You made it look easy, but I'm sure there were tough defensemen, tough goalies you had to play against. Who was the toughest guys you went against this season?
In terms of defensemen, I'd give credit to Matthew Ananoski on Kitchener, and Sam Dickinson, it's good, Blake Smith, just like big D, tough to play against, just give you a tough time in the corner. And then in terms of goalie, I'd say Jackson Parsons probably on Kitchener too. He usually had my number, but yeah. So
Other than hockey, what are you passionate about?
I love golfing. In the off season, I was big into lacrosse as well until my draft year to the OHL. I had to quit lacrosse obviously and focus on hockey, but yeah, I played my whole life. It's still something I follow, and a couple of my buddies are actually in the NLL now, so just, you know, staying in touch with them. But and then I love playing pool with my brother. We got a pool table at house.
Nice.
Usually raise the stakes. Stakes get pretty intense there. But
can you do tricks? Do the pool tricks? Or
that's more my brother. He has a book where he kind of, you know, reads through it and studies the game a bit. But I more just play for fun. But we do get pretty competitive at that. yeah.
So who's better and why is it you?
I can't. You know, I want to say I'm better, but I'm not right now, so I definitely got to keep practicing.
One more goal for the summer. Well, yeah. Michael, Lisa, of course. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Great stuff there from Michael Misa, Adam. It comes down to which of these players, Michael Misa, James Hagans, are you going to consider if you have the number 2 pick in the draft or if you have the number 3 pick in the draft? So, look, both of these players are exceptional. I think it was unfortunate that Misa had that injury that kept him from participating at the U18s. We would have loved to have seen him there for Canada. But look, let's face it, 130-plus points in the OHL this year. It comes in as an exceptional player. He's done a lot in his 3 seasons in the O, and I think a lot of GMs, scouts are going to take that in consideration.
Absolutely. And you know, I guess the flip side of that is, what if Hagans plays in the Ontario League, right? He's a point-of-game player against older, more physically developed competition. What does that replicate? Is that like the season Patrick Kane had when he was in London, right, in his draft year? Does he have, when he had 150 points in 60-some-odd games, could Hagans have had that kind of season? I don't know. Put Misa in college hockey, would he have been a point-of-game guy? I don't know. So it's, you kind of have to, I think, take that into context a little bit when you're comparing the two. But to me, I don't know if Misa not playing at the under 18s is going to change a lot of opinions.
No.
on where he goes or where he lies on teams' draft boards. I think, you know, from what you've seen through 70 whatever games he played in the Ontario League regular season and playoffs, you know what kind of player he is, and you have a little bit of a longer resume at that level because, as you said, the exceptional player status.
Just like you can't hold Hagans being his first year in NCAA, you can't hold Misa playing his third season in the O against him. Look, they're O-7s, right? That's mm-hmm. the bottom line. And it's all going to come down to projection. We know this. This is how scouts work. It's going to come down to who they feel is going to have the highest ceiling. And we've seen a lot out of both of these players. Look, Hagen set records at the U18s a year ago, breaking Nikita Kucherov's record for total points. And then we all know what Misa was able to do in the O this year. So two great options here, two great players, and they had a lot of good things to say.
Absolutely. They are good players, good prospects, as are all of the prospects here, and you've gotten to hear from some of them. We had Matthew Schaefer on our last show. We have some of the great minds of NHL Central Scouting, and we're going to have more guys while we're here up in Buffalo at the NHL Scouting Combine. So please stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. Please stay tuned to NHL.com. NHL.com/draft is where you'll find all of our stories. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.